Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing time as we gather together and talk about the good things of the Lord on this Sunday night. I know it sounds like a broken record, but thank you for stopping by. And if you are new to our broadcast, stay around. Listen for a while, see what God's saying to us. And if it's a blessing, subscribe that button there and hit the subscribe button and the bell on YouTube. And then on Facebook, it's friends or thumbs up and likes. All those things give us a little more horsepower on our channel here. So we thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the supernatural side of Christmas. And the question, the statement is, not too busy for the supernatural. Stirring your thinking and stirring your experiences as I speak is what I want to do tonight on this Sunday night gathering. The things in your life that have happened to you that you may have forgotten until you stir it up a bit, the things that have happened in your life that were a miracle or a supernatural, but at the time someone said it was just coincidence and you let it go at that, or you didn't know at that time until you came to Christ or you grew in Christ and your understanding of the things of God increased. If that's the case, I want to stir your memory up and we're going to talk just a little bit about the supernatural. Let's start with the Christmas season being an exposure of one of the most unusual, unique, never done before or since, a young woman having birthing a child that was conceived by a supernatural event, which was, of course, God the Father overshadowing Mary and bringing into this earth Jesus Christ, whose father was not Joseph. His father was indeed the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. When the scripture says that the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and she became conceived, she conceives a seed and eventually was to bear a child. Now, in this same storyline, we have Mary, the mother of John the Baptist, an older woman who was past prime and had no children. Now, in that day, still in some cultures, if you don't have a child, you are somewhat ostracized as a woman, and perhaps even the men, the fathers or the men, look down on you for being childless. Bearing children in some cultures, even today, are a mark of honor and, pride and so forth. Well, Elizabeth buried John the Baptist was an older woman who was past her time of conception. And God visited them and spoke to them and gave them the promise of a child. And because of that, Elizabeth went away, left town, and went and stayed with some relation. And it was there that Mary came and knocked on the door and spoke the prophecy over Elizabeth. You know, you're going to bear a son, and he's going to have a wonderful, powerful ministry. Now, that's all supernatural stuff. We read it in the Bible, in our stories, our Christmas stories, and sometimes we forget or we overlook the fact that it's not just Bible stories. It is God's hand and God's Spirit reaching into our world and transferring, as Matthew 6 says, heaven coming to earth. And that's one of the prayers, that's the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really a pattern prayer that he gave his disciples. Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God extended himself into earth by sending us in the form of a human, a man, in the natural world. Christ became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ. The whole story, the whole attitude of the Christian, of the Christmas season, is filled and supported and built upon the miracles that God and the supernatural hand of God in our life. Okay. Accidents that didn't happen, children that were not supposed to be born, finances that turned about suddenly, sicknesses that just seemingly disappeared and changed. All those things are the hand of God, a supernatural intervention in our lives that we count as coincidence if we don't have an understanding of God's hand upon us and his supernatural fingerprint on our life. I was 2 years old when I stuck my hand into a wringer on Mom's wash machine. Now, you younger people don't know what a wringer is, but the old style washer with a wringer, you washed your clothes and then you put them through these two rollers up top, right up top the wash machine, and your clothes went through and it squeezed out all the water. Then you could put it in a basket, you lucky gals, or I suppose some of you men might have helped, go out on the clothesline outside now and flip them, you know, and put the clothespins in. Okay, I'm talking old century, right? Now, those ringers then kept rolling while Mom's washing, and little Georgie gets up there and is curious, and he puts his fingers up in that roller, and it took his arm up to the elbow, up to the armpit, all the way up. I'm 2 years old, so that arm's not real big and strong. Well, Mom panicked. They had a button on top where you could smash that thing and that would come apart real quick. Well, Mom panicked and reversed it instead of hit that button. So it went up my armpit and down to my fingertips. Well, obviously, little Georgie was hurting and crying. Mom was really, I'm sure, really messed up. And they rushed me to the doctor. And the doctor says, I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do. Just wrap it up in a warm towel and see what happens. Well, Mom and Dad were young Pentecostal preachers pastoring a church in Brush Prairie, Washington, out in the country. And they took me home, wrapped that arm up in a warm towel, and prayed for me, anointed me with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Nothing else they could do. No insurance. And if they had insurance, they probably didn't know what to do with a crushed arm. Doctor said it'll probably be stunted. It'll probably never grow. And he'll have that the rest of his life. Well, the next day, God had performed a miracle. I don't know how long it took for the soreness to go away or maybe the wounding or the bruising. They never told me that in detail. But all I know is that within a short time, that arm was back to normal. The only thing that was left was Jacob's limp, I call it. Because in that left arm, when I move it like that, I have a click in the joint, right in the elbow. And it reminds me of my miracle every time I feel that click. Now, it really shows up when I'm doing push-ups, which I try to avoid as often as possible. But that's a miracle in my life. And when I look at that and I remember that, it reminds me of God's hand upon my life. It does something for you when you remember the near accident that God saved you from. I was in the first days of 2015, God had spoken to me in 14, the last few hours of 2014, and said he was going to give me 12 angels, 12 miracles, and 12 keys in the year of 2015. And he did. So that's another story we can tell. But in the first month, I was going through, after I had encountered my first angel, I was traveling through the underpassing of Seattle, where they have convention centers over the top, and it's like a tunnel. And suddenly, traffic stopped. I jammed my brakes on because it was sudden. And I came within an inch of the guy in front of me, and the guy in the back of me came an inch within me. I mean, tires squealing. Now, that to me is a miracle. I remember that. When I step into my car, I remember that God's hand is upon me because he showed me a deliverance miracle time in my life. Well, the stories can go on and on as, you know, you begin to remember them. And I trust that as I'm stirring your heart today and your memory, that you'll begin to make some notes. And I would encourage you to write them down for posterity. Your children need to remember how you came together, how God spared your life, how one of you were spared from a sickness or an accident, or how you weren't supposed to have children and God gave you a miracle and children were in your life. Your children and your grandchildren need to know those miracles of the supernatural events. It's all a fingerprint and a reflection of God's nature and God's love for his people and for his children. I had the privilege of being in quite a number of Oral Roberts tent meetings as a kid in several different cities. And I can remember one thing he did, and perhaps not only in the tent, but maybe on the TV program that he had for years. When someone would come and they couldn't bear children, he would always say, after he prayed for him, he'd say, "Name that first boy after me." And I often wondered how many Orals there are around the country from just that one experience of people coming time after time when they could not bear children, when God, as the Old Testament said, he opened the womb, you know, of a woman and she conceived. That's a God thing. That's a supernatural event when God opens the womb. One of the disasters and sad criminal things about this age is the abortion issue. When the miracle of the womb being opened, they count it as a disease, they count it as an accident, they count it, they want to throw it away, when the very fact they became pregnant is an act of God. It's a supernatural event. Oh, I tell you, when we begin to stir our hearts up and our minds. I wore glasses for a number of years, from probably 8 or 10 years old till I was 21. And at first the glasses, I had a muscle problem. So they gave me clear lenses, and then they put tape here so that it would try to train my muscles, because I saw double when I looked to one side. This eye here and the left side would go up in my head. The muscle was right up in my head, and I would see double. I had a little fun with it when I was a kid sitting in church. I could bounce the preacher off the ceiling by just turning my eyes. And this double vision would shoot him up, and I thought it was pretty neat. But obviously it was a bondage to me and something that I didn't want to live with. Well, they gave me glasses and they tried to perfect it, and nothing seemed to work. Then they gave me strong glasses where it was really thick lenses, and they were trying to manipulate those eyes. Come along about 21, they discovered, I found out they could operate on my eye. So they took me into the hospital, and my mother said that as I was going through into the doctor's, place, the bottom of my feet were dirty. Well, I lived in the country, folks, and I went barefooted quite a bit of the time. So that's life in the 60s. And they took my eyeballs out, put them on my cheeks, and then they shaved the muscle, just took a little muscle off, put them back in, popped them back in. I know that sounds bad, but they put patches on my eye and so forth. When they took them off, my eye, I saw it was like this, one eye up and one eye here. And I said, oh, no, I'm ruined. Well, little by little, as we believe the Lord, it would come down. And the doctor said, wherever it stops, that's where it'll be. Came down. I was without glasses through up into my 50s. And that problem never came back again. It was a miracle of God for that gift that was given me by a doctor. Now, it didn't come by a supernatural event, but it came by a supernatural love of grace of God. Amen. My 2-year-old boy, 2.5-year-old boy, was playing in the front yard, and a little girl came by one day, the neighbor girl, with a bicycle with training wheels. And those training wheels kind of got stranded where the wheel was off the ground. And so she kept pedaling. And he was curious, never seen a bicycle chain before. So he stuck his hand into it and lost his thumb, cut it right off. Well, obviously, we all went bonkers over that, trying to help him, wrapped him up. One of the gals stayed there looking for the thumb. We rushed off to the clinic that was in that side of town, east side of Portland. Now, here's the chain of events that brought about a miracle and tested our trust in God. Number one, the girl at home that stayed back found the thumb, rushed it to where we were. And the doctor that was visiting that clinic for just that day was one of the best, most famous surgeons in sewing together arteries. Now, here's a 2-year-old son, 2.5-year-old boy. And they had just discovered 3 months before that thread so thin that it was like spider webs. It would float in the air so that they could sew his thumb back on and connect the blood cells. Now, you talk about the miracles of God, the timing of the Lord. Well, he said, if it comes back, it comes back. If it doesn't, we'll just have to take that off and he'll be without it. Of course, we prayed. We believed God. And every day we looked at it, it just was black. And then slowly the life and the color came back. And slowly my son has complete service. Now, it's a little different shape, but he's never lost dexterity. And he deals with fine-tuned craft stuff all the time when he's fixing or doing some kind of craft, some kind of inventive work. Those are miracles in our life that have anchored us in the supply, the believing and the faith that God supplies those supernatural events. I'm not talking tonight about angel visitations, those are supernatural things. I'm not talking about some kind of, the prophetic thing that we love so much, just the common stuff that God does for us. My wife and I are driving to the east, pulling our trailer. We're just about through Nebraska, we run out of gas, the middle of nowhere. Who pulls up beside to help us but another preacher and his wife? Took us to the gas station, gave us $10 for gas, and we were on our way. That's supernatural stuff. So on this Sunday night, I want to encourage you to be supernatural, think supernatural, and enjoy the supernatural hand of God. Hey, don't forget, Subscribe if you haven't. And if God's nudging you to send a gift, you can do that by writing the show notes below with PayPal or the mail, snail mail. We love you guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Until tomorrow morning, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may his countenance always shine out of your face.